But of course, there's a lot of unintended consequences of this hard and nasty rhetoric. It leaves a legacy of hard feelings between the Lutherans and the Reformed. Right? In Zurich, they hated the name of Luther for a long time to come. You can't blame them. It left a legacy of kind of contentiousness among Lutheran theologians in the next generation or two. Poor Philip Melanchthon, who lived outlived Luther by another decade and a half, had to live in the middle of just swirling controversies. Poor Philip is a man who likes to compromise. He likes to try to come to agreement with his opponents, right? He's willing to give a little to make peace with theological opponents. And the authentic Lutherans, they call themselves, right? Nicio-Lutherans is the technical phrase. The authentic Lutherans say, oh, those Melanchthonians, they're crypto-Calvinists. Because, in fact, Melanchthon was in correspondence with Calvin, and they agreed about a lot of things. And so the true Lutherans, the authentic Lutherans, just attacked poor Philip because he was willing to compromise, willing to make peace. When Philip Melanchthon died, as a matter of fact, he left a scrap of paper by his deathbed with a list of reasons why you shouldn't be afraid to die. Right? You get to escape all sorts of evils by dying, like you no longer have to sin, and you escape the rabid fury of the theologians, the rabies theologorum. Right? Literally, it looks like rabies of the theologians, right? The rabid fury. Isn't it nice that you're no longer involved in these controversies where people try to rip each other to shreds? They attack each other's conscience. It's a terrible legacy. Let me just give you a sample of this. I think we have time to mention how Luther attacks one person who writes, a man named Schwenkfeld writes an irenic treatise, a conciliatory treatise, saying, Mr. Luther, don't you mean that really it's a more spiritual view than what you said before? You really want to be more spiritual, don't you? The Lord's Supper is really just a spiritual event. Isn't this really your intent? And, of course, that's the thing that really will set Luther off, right? Don't tell me that I agree with you. Right? I have nothing to do with you. So Luther's reply by the messenger to this Schwenkfeld is, Dear Sir Messenger, tell your master Caspar Schwenkfeld that I have received from you the booklet and the letter and wish to God he would be silent. That mad fool, possessed of the devil, does not understand anything, does not know what he is babbling. If he doesn't stop, at least let him quit bothering me with these books that the devil spits and spews out of him. And give him this as my final judgment and answer. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and the spirit who called you, and the course you are taking. Getting into a theological argument with Luther left wounds. Talk about abrasive. In his eulogy for Luther, Melanchthon says this, Some people, and by no means evil-minded ones, have complained that Luther displays too much severity. I will not deny this. This is Luther's best friend at his funeral in 1546. Right? Does Luther display too much severity? I won't deny it. But I answer in the language of Erasmus, strikingly, because of the magnitude of the disorders God gave this age a violent physician. When God raised up this instrument, that is Martin Luther, against the arrogant enemies of the truth, he spoke as he did to Jeremiah. Behold, and this is quoting from the Old Testament, Behold, I place my words in thy mouth, destroy and build. Over against these enemies, God has set this mighty destroyer, Martin Luther. In vain do they find fault with God. That's quite a eulogy, isn't it? Right? Luther is harsh. He's too severe. But he's God's instrument. We can't find fault with God. That's Luther's best friend speaking at his funeral. Well, I don't know if it's finding fault with God, but there's something to find fault with here. Let me try to zero in on what's going wrong in Luther's polemics, because this will be important when we talk about Luther and the Jews in the next lecture. I would suggest that what drives the most destructive aspects of Luther's rhetoric against his theological opponents is the desire for certainty. Not just the desire for truth, but the desire for certainty. There's nothing wrong with thinking that your beliefs are true. That's what it is to believe. The logic of belief is to believe something is to believe it's true. So everyone believes their beliefs are true. But certainty is different. Certainty is something stronger and more dangerous. It's related to the desire to be right. The desire to be right is very different from the desire for truth. Because if what you desire is truth, then you'll be very glad to learn when you're wrong. because that gets you closer to the truth. So someone who desires truth is not afraid of being wrong. But someone who wants to be right, of course, does not ever want to be wrong. And therefore, someone who wants to be right all the time wants to be certain. Because if you're certain, then that means that you don't ever have to consider the possibility that you're wrong. And that, I think, is profoundly destructive.